something that you are dealing with, I am dealing with. It's 2020. I face this often. You face it often. Your parents faced it. Your grandparents faced it. People in the 1800s had to deal with it. People in the Bible times, going back to Moses, Abraham, even Adam and Eve had to deal with this. And we're still dealing with this. So it's something I want to talk about this morning that has been going on for a long time and will keep going on as long as you have breath, as long as you're living on this earth and you're breathing, you're going to deal with this. The title of the message this morning is Overcoming Temptation. And Michael had brought that up this morning in our sharing time when Ernie had asked some things to work through, to fight through. And you had brought up the thing of temptation. Temptation is something Adam and Eve dealt with. You go through the Bible, everybody in the Bible dealt with it. Your parents dealt with it. And now you're dealing with it. And your children are going to deal with it. Parents, our families, our boys and girls that we're raising are going to deal with temptation. So how do you deal with it? What do you do with it? Do you overcome it? Or are we just going to give in to it? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And so I'm going to just ask you several questions with simple answers, but it's just to clarify what we're talking about this morning. And so I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever been tempted? Okay? Have you ever been tempted? And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but probably all of us can raise our hands and say, yes, I have been tempted somewhere in my life. So you acknowledge the fact that you have been tempted. Have you ever given in to temptation? Is there a time in your life where you ever gave in to temptation? I did. I know I did. Way too many times. Have you ever resisted temptation? Hopefully, yes. Hopefully often, and hopefully after this morning, we can do it a whole lot better in overcoming temptation and learning how to resist temptation. Is there ever a point in your life where you won't be tempted anymore? No. So this is something we're going to have to deal with. This is something we're going to have to fight through. It's not going to go away. Fight through if you want to be victorious. If you don't want to be victorious, you don't have to fight through it. But you're still going to be tempted. So this is a reality for each person, for all of us, and our spouses, and our families, and our parents, our neighbors, our bosses, our coworkers, our teachers, you name it, we all deal with this. And as long as we have breath, it's going to be here. So what do we do about it? The definition of temptation is this. It's an enticement to get a person to act contrary to God's will. An enticement to get a person to act contrary to God's will. Or, here's another one, a definition, the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. So, that is temptation. And the reason that this message even came about, for me personally, the Lord's Prayer is something that I try to say every day. I've done it for years. Normally in the morning, before I start, I try to quote the Lord's Prayer. That's just part of what I do. And in the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then it says, Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. So that was the verse, or that phrase is something I was processing the last several weeks, maybe even several months. Lead us not into temptation. It doesn't say take temptation away, because it's out there. But it's asking the Lord not to lead you into temptation. And so I'm like, okay, I'm asking God, we're recognizing there's temptation out there. I'm going to be tempted. But we're saying, God, help me not to, don't lead me into that. Don't let me go into temptation. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. And so as I was processing that and asking God, you know, don't lead me into that. That's where a lot of this, that's where this came out of, this sermon came out of, is that. And so, we're going to, is temptation a sin? No. Temptation is not a sin. And there are several verses that back that up as well. But also, when you look at this prayer, just before that, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So, it's asking God to forgive us for the sin, for the debts. It doesn't say, forgive us for the temptation. It makes a difference there. It says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debts. So that, to me, number one, is it's not, temptation is not a sin. There's scripture on it. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16 says this, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, this is talking about Jesus, was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of help and need. So here it says Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, but he didn't sin. So there's a very clear difference. Temptation is not sin. And when you look at those verses, or that verse, it makes it very clear that Jesus knows about temptation. He knows what it's like to be tempted. You can share with him what you're going through, and he understands. It says he was tempted in all points, not just some points. He was tempted in all points like you and me are. Hebrews 2, just a few verses before, a few chapters before that, Hebrews 2 verses 17 and 18 says this, therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered being tempted. Get this. He is able to aid those who are tempted. Isn't that encouraging? Talking about Jesus Christ, he suffered, and it says now he's able to aid you in your time of temptation. So temptation itself is not sin, but I think we all realize it can lead to sin. It's something that Satan uses very often. He used back in Bible times. He still uses today, is temptation. It's a tool that he uses that he can lead you right into sin. James 1, I'm going to read that. James 1, chapter 1, just six verses, verses 12 through 18. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away from his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he bought us by the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. So verse 12 says, blessed is a man that endures temptation. Blessed means happy, right? Happy is a man that endures temptation. When he is tried, when he overcomes, he'll receive the crown of life. So we have temptation. It's a reality for each one of us. But there is a way to overcome it. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit more as well. But I just want us to recognize here, when I look at this scripture, is verse 14, one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. When desire has conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. So temptation, when we give into temptation, is where it becomes sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. That's what the Bible says. And so let's be aware of how much potential temptation has for you to sin. There's lots of potential in temptation. I believe there's a majority of it. In temptation is to get you to sin. So, it also mentions here in verse 13 that God doesn't tempt anyone. Okay, so where does temptation come from? It says very clearly it doesn't come from God. So, who does it come from? Where does it come from? Do you know? Someone say it. Where does temptation come from? From where? From you and others? Okay. Okay. Daniel, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very, very similar. Great answers. Being from yourself, being drawn away by your own lust. And let's go a little deeper now. Who's behind that? Satan. So to me, the bottom line is the person behind your own lust. And that was a great answer, Daniel and Michael. Behind your own lust, behind your own selfishness, behind your own personal agenda is Satan himself wanting to pull you down and wanting to destroy you. Satan is an intelligent being who is completely evil. And he's the main character behind this. He's a liar. The Bible says he's a father of lies. He's a deceiver. He is sly. He doesn't care about you. He wants to destroy you. So one of Satan's goals, when we're looking at temptation, it's something that's reality for all of us. I look at the main person behind temptation is Satan. And the main goal and agenda behind temptation is to destroy you. To cause you to sin. However he can do it. And he's good at it. He's been around for a long time. Every generation had to deal with this. And we're dealing with it today. We're not exempt. No one here is exempt from temptation. As long as we have life and breath on this earth, I believe there's going to be some kind of temptation that Satan's going to try to use for us to destroy us. So, how do you deal with it? How do you deal with temptation? How about, did something come to the top of your head? Or maybe not even top of your head. How do you deal with temptation? Do you have an answer? Michael raised his hand first. Jason, you're next. One at a time. How do you deal with temptation, Michael? So you use scripture. So when you're tempted, Michael, you will bring scripture into your mind, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that helps you overcome. Awesome. Jason. Exact same answer, scripture. Okay. Good. Someone else. Do you have how do you overcome temptation? We all face it. We all deal with it. None of us are exempt.
Temptation is based on a lie, and it really comes back to declaring the truth and understanding what you were saying about your identity, too. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not who I am. Mm-hmm.
Very good answer. Talking about identity, and we'll get to that just in a little bit. Talking more about identity and temptation. Good answer. Someone else. What is our response? Can we put a shield up like that, you know? Go ahead, Jason. Okay. So how do you do it with scripture? Do you verbally speak it? Sometimes? It's not just in your mind? Okay. Awesome. Yes, Michael. Good answer. And I like that, just your communication with God, connecting with God. Jason, you use scripture, absolutely. And then you also use prayer. Prayer is connecting with Almighty God, letting him know what's going on. He already knows, but it's good for us to verbalize it. We need to verbalize our things to God and letting him know, God, I'm struggling. I'm dealing with this temptation. Help me get through it. And maybe you're like, well, Dale, you know what? You don't know exactly what I've been through this week. You don't know what I'm tempted with. And I probably don't. I'm not even going to try to say I know what you're tempted with. There may be some things that for us as men here I can relate to. There's probably a number of things that us as men that we can relate to that we get tempted in certain areas. That we can say, you know what, I have been tempted with that. I have been tempted in that area. I've been tempted in that area. There's different areas none of us can say we know exactly how other people are going or we know the temptations they're dealing with and how to work through it. But 1 Corinthians 10:13, we're talking about scripture, okay? So let's get this verse. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. You get that? You may think your temptation is very difficult, and it may be. You may think your temptation, no one else can understand. No one else has been in my situation. That's possible. I haven't been in your shoes, in your situation. But this verse says, you will not be allowed to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with that temptation, we'll also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What I'm saying, this scripture here tells you, there may not be another person on earth that can relate to your temptation, but it's not something that you cannot work through. That verse says you will not be tempted above what you can bear. So the temptations that are there, God does not allow you to experience more than you can handle. That's exactly what that verse says, and that's exactly what that verse means. So the temptation that you have, you may think it's a difficult one. But God is saying, you can handle this. It's not more than you can bear. Satan knows how to tempt you. He knows when to tempt you. He knows where to tempt you. And he knows how long to tempt you. He's good at this. He knows how much pressure to put on you, and he knows how much force. He's good at temptation. But we don't have to give in to it. I'm going to look at Jesus, okay? Matthew chapter 4. Jesus himself was tempted. Jesus was the Son of God. But yet he faced temptation. And we're going to look at what he did to overcome temptation. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at these verses. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. I'm going to read them. There's three temptations here, and then we're going to come back and look what Jesus did with his temptations. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What a place to be tempted. He's going out here by himself. Not only is he going out here, he's not just choosing to go out here. He is being led by the Spirit. So God is leading him out into the wilderness where he's by himself to be tempted. When do a lot of temptations happen for us? It can be in a group of people. Absolutely. It can be anywhere. Remember, Satan knows how and when and where to do it best. But there's also times when you're out completely by yourself. Jesus is out in the wilderness by himself, okay, and he was led there. When he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, this is verse 2, afterward he was hungry, rightly so. You certainly would be after 40 days of fasting. So, look at the timing here again in verse 3. Satan knows when to come to Jesus. He's hungry. He's been fasting for 40 days. And so what's he going to tempt him with in verse 3? The tempter came and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. I'm going to read it, then we'll come back. Verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then, verse 5, the devil took him up into a high place on the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Here we have Satan quoting some scripture. He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said, talking to Jesus, all these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall not tempt, you shall worship the Lord your God. Him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him. Behold, the angels came and ministered to him. So we have Jesus out in the wilderness by himself. And Satan comes after he's hungry, after he fasts. And look what Satan says. This gets to your identity part, Elmina, that you were talking about. The first word that he says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God. Do you see how he's playing with his identity? He doesn't say, since you're the Son of God, or although you're the Son of God. He says, if you're the Son of God. And Satan will do that with us as well. He wants to mess with our identity. Are you a child of God? That's how he starts Jesus' temptation. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Now, that would be tempting. You're super hungry. And bread would seem awfully good right now. Not only bread, but turning stones into bread and then eating would just be really, really good. You talk about satisfying yourself. You talk about meeting your physical need is what I see. When I look at this first temptation, that's one of the biggest things I see in this one is meeting your physical need. He was hungry, physically hungry. And so Satan says, do you want something to eat? Then make this bread. Turn these stones into bread. The physical thing is what Adam and Eve were tempted with, and it's what they gave into as well. Same thing here as Jesus. He comes, obviously we know the story, but in Adam and Eve, you know, eating from the one tree they were not allowed to eat from, Satan says, did you see that tree? Check out that fruit. It was physical gratification is what they gave into. We are often tempted. Satan uses this one an awful lot for our physical gratification when we look at temptation. This is common for all of us, is our flesh. Now, when we think of temptation, at least for us guys, I'm going to speak from my perspective a little bit. You know, something we think about is maybe some big ones that we're tempted, like, you know, pornography. You know, that is a huge temptation. But that's not the only temptation. Sometimes we put way too much emphasis on just that. Satan uses all kinds of things to tempt you. It's not just that. He can tempt you to cheat. He can tempt you to steal. He can tempt you to lie. He can tempt you to gossip. Women, he can tempt you to think that you're not beautiful. I think he can. Because that's not what God says, I created you beautiful. But he can tempt you into thinking that you're not. Satan can tempt you to complain. Complain? Yeah. Do you know how much we have, folks? And we tend to complain. I think complaining is a temptation. And we give into it way too often. Because when we go back to Scripture, it is written, is what Jesus says. And he quoted Scripture. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But Scripture says, verse after verse after verse, of who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ and the benefits we have in Christ. We can be tempted not to forgive. The Bible says to forgive. Not forgiving is a temptation. Living in your old self is a temptation. Because the Bible says if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. We can be tempted to live in our old self. We can be tempted to live in our old ways before we had Christ. We can be tempted to have anger. We can be tempted to lust. Greed is a temptation. That's just a few. You could name all different kinds of things. The reason I'm saying this is let's recognize that temptation, there can be all different kinds of things. Let's not put temptation in a box of lust, greed, pornography. That's temptation. No, it's a whole lot more than that. It is. So how are we going to overcome it? Jesus says, in verse 4, this is what Jesus answered. Okay, verse 3 is where Satan tempted him to command the stones to be made to bread. Jesus says in verse 4, it is written. What's written? How did he know something was written? He knew. Okay, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So Jesus says to Satan, it is written, this is what the Scripture says, man shall not live by bread alone. And he quotes Scripture, right? What Michael and Jason were talking about earlier, quoting Scripture. Jesus knew Scripture. See, Jesus knew what was written. If he wouldn't have known what was written, he couldn't have said that. You can't say something's written if you don't know it. So Jesus knew Scripture. Yeah, but Jesus was the Son of God, so he should have known all that stuff. Yes, he was the Son of God, but he was still in human flesh. At this point, Jesus was a human. He was born from a woman like you were. He cried like you did. He drank milk like you did. He learned to talk. He learned to walk. He learned to write, most likely. He learned to play. He learned to build things. Jesus learned things like you and me do. He also learned scripture like me and you do. And he knew what it was. And so when he comes to temptation, he knew scripture because he learned it. So it's important for us to learn scripture, yeah. Jesus says it's written. All right, let's keep going. Verse 5, this is another one. So that one's done. Then the devil took him up into a holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And I heard that was probably about 100 feet high. Oh, I'm sorry, 150 feet high. They think the pinnacle of the temple is really high. So he took him up to high spot. And he says, here's this word if again. Satan does the same thing the second time with his identity. If you are the Son of God. Interesting. But listen, it's important for us to know who we are. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Interesting. Now, here we have Satan quoting scriptures. Satan says, this is in verse 6, he's quoting from Psalms 91. Satan says, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So Satan is tempting him, and he's bringing in scripture. Satan knows scripture. And what he brought, but the problem is here, not the problem, well, yeah, could be a problem. The thing is here, Satan brings it in and completely takes it out of context because it was from Psalms 91. And what Satan is saying here, you go up to this pinnacle of the temple, you jump off, scripture says angels are going to give charge over you, and you won't get hurt because they're going to bear you up and they're going to catch you, lest you dash your foot against your sin. That's what's going to happen, Jesus. That's what the Bible says. But it's not what it meant in that passage. So we're dealing with a tempter that knows scripture as well. So how do you overcome that? It's by what Jesus did, by knowing it better than him. And Jesus says, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So Jesus knew that the verses that he's using are not in the proper context. How did he know that? Because he studied the Word of God. And he knew what the Word of God says. So the second temptation that Jesus used, or the second temptation that we have recorded here, he overcame by knowing Scripture and by speaking Scripture. And when I look at the first one, I see that as him being tempted in the physical. You know, oh, you're hungry, so get something to eat. I see the second temptation here as his protection. You know, jump off, someone will catch you. Number 3, verse 11. I'm sorry, 8 to 11. Again, the devil took him up to an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Okay, this is quite a place. To be in a position where you can see all the kingdoms of the world and the glory is where Jesus is at right now. Satan says in verse 9, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. So Satan's saying, Jesus, look at all this stuff. If you bow down and worship me, I'll give you everything. What I see in this third temptation is control. Satan thought he has control of this. And so therefore, he'll tempt Jesus with control. If you bow down to me, I'll give you all of this. Jesus knew better than that. How did he know better than that? Verse 10, Jesus answered. This is his answer. Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. So we have three temptations here. All three times, Jesus says, it is written. And I believe for us today, that's the best way for us to fight temptation. Is to get like Jesus did. Know the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. When you're tempted, you know what is written. But if you don't read it and you don't study it, you won't be able to say what is written if you don't know what is written. John Piper says, I said this last Sunday for the people that are here, John Piper says, the reason people don't read their Bible is because they don't want to. Think about it. I agree with that. The reason you don't read your Bible is because you don't want to. You have 24 hours in a day. Most of the time, the reason I say most of the time, I know there's mothers here, you have children, you have babies that can take your schedule and you have to be super flexible, and I honor you. But for most part, you do the things that you want to in that day. And so if reading the Word of God is a priority, it'll happen. Luke 2, I'm just going to read several verses here just about Jesus and him growing up and him learning and wanting to know the truth. Luke 2, verses 41 to 52. I'm going to read this, just a little story here of Jesus. Luke 2, did I have that right? Luke 2, 41 to 52. Here's what it says, a story about Jesus. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. When he was 12, this was Jesus, okay? This is something that Jesus did when he was 12 years old. They went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they finished the days, they returned. The boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and they sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they didn't find him, that's quite a problem here. All of a sudden we can't find Jesus. Verse 45, when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem seeking him. Verse 46, and that was so. After 3 days, they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. He said, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they didn't understand the statement by which he spoke. The reason I bring this out, actually, two more verses. Then they went down to Jerusalem, came to Nazareth. He was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things and kept them in her heart. Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. That tells me a lot about Jesus right there. A 12-year-old boy increased in wisdom and stature. So Jesus wanted to learn at 12 years old already. And he learned a lot. Obviously, he was sitting with the teachers. And so Jesus, growing up, I'm convinced that he learned the scriptures. And just because he was the Son of God didn't give him an advantage on this earth than it does for me and you. He still had to study it. He still had to read it. He did study it. He did read it because he knew what it was. And he knew what it said. And he knew how to overcome temptation. Why does God allow temptation? Why is it allowed? Do you have any answer? What's the point in temptation? Test your faith. Good answer. Absolutely. Test your faith. Testing is a huge part of it. God won't give you more than you can handle, but he knows he has to give you something in order for you to grow. Right? Smooth seas will not make a skillful sailor. You don't have any tests in life, you're not going to grow. And I believe that's one of the reasons for temptation as well. Greater discipline, greater dependency on God. Temptation has a way of really keeping us connected with God. When something comes up, like, God, I need you. It keeps that relationship going there. Expect temptation this week. Expect it this today even, because it's going to happen. But the way to overcome it is by saying, it is written, using Scripture. And there's way too many temptations out there to just use one Scripture. Michael, you use Philippians 4:13. That's an awesome one. But does it work for every single temptation? No. But there's other Scriptures that do. I don't think there's a temptation out there that Scripture doesn't cover. We talked about a couple of temptations earlier. Lust. There's verses about lust. Greed. There's verses about greed. Unforgiveness. There's verses about forgiveness. Hurting your neighbor. There's verses about loving your neighbor. The temptations that are out there, people, I believe there's verses in there as well of Scripture. So what I want us to get this morning is just simply to recognize that we're all tempted, but you can overcome temptation by knowing the Word of God. It is written. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your Word. Lord, I want to thank you for Jesus. And we look at Jesus' three temptations we looked at this morning, and every temptation he overcame by the Word of God and quoting Scripture and saying it is written. And so, Father, this morning I pray for each one of us. Give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness and for wanting to know the Word of God. And diving into the Word of God and getting to know it. And when we are tempted, not if we are tempted, but when we are tempted, that we can use Scripture and say it is written. Father, also we see that Satan tested Jesus' identity when he came and said, if you're the Son of God. And Father, that's something we struggle with as well. But Lord, I'm asking, and again, we look at Scripture, there's lots of verses in our identity in Christ and who we are in Christ. And so, Father, may we be rooted and grounded in your Word and in Scripture. So, Lord, as we leave from here, the next time we are tempted, help us to overcome by the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that we have a way to overcome. You're good. Lord, I know you're doing awesome things in each one of our lives. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.